Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Israel's Supreme Court has struck down a controversial judicial reform passed by the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing government that caused nationwide protests last year. The change would have limited the power of the Supreme Court in overturning laws it deemed unconstitutional, and critics say it would have severely undermined the country's democracy. Well, for more on this and for the latest on what has been happening in Gaza, I'm joined on the line by Leila Malana Allen, who's special correspondent with PBS. Good morning, Leila.
Morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Will you take us back for a moment and remind us about what happened in July when the Israeli government passed that law, which became known as the Reasonableness Bill?
It did. And the reason for that is that it was the intention of this law was to stop the Supreme Court being able to block any government moves that it deemed unreasonable. Now, the reason that became so important is that it's just over a year since at the end of 2022, Benjamin Netanyahu came back into power. But the only way he was able to do that after that election was by uniting with the most right-wing elements in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. And people were very angry about this because they felt that this did not represent what the majority of people in Israel wanted. So there was already a lot of tension. And then when the idea for this law started to be introduced at the beginning of last year, we saw hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets across the country for months. I was there all last summer before the bill was passed through. And every week, hundreds of thousands of people out on the streets saying that it was going to turn the country into a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. That was finally passed in July. There were huge violent protests. And we saw people from all sides of society coming out against this. There were military reservists from every sector of the army, some of the most elite fighter pilot units, all coming out against this, saying they would not fight for a country that was going to make laws in this way. Then, of course, suddenly October the 7th happened, and that changed everything, and it united Israelis again in protecting their country, but it doesn't mean that it united them over this bill and over this right-wing government.
So then we have, yesterday, this statement from the Supreme Court, which said that 8 out of 15 judges had ruled against the law.
Now, that's very tight margin, and it did apparently come down to the last few hours. One of the reasons they went ahead with it was there were a lot of debates in mid to late September, several different cases that, through the decisions that were taken, were going to make the decision overall as to whether this was going to be allowed to pass and become actual law. But, of course, that then got delayed by the war, so a lot of people felt that this needed to be dealt with. Now, while this might seem small fry at the moment in the middle of this horrific war that's now been going on for 3 months, it is incredibly important for a few reasons. Firstly, the future of Israeli democracy and how people feel about their government in Israel. And also the fact that even though right now there is a unity government, during this war, the different sides in the Knesset have come together under Netanyahu while they fight this war. That does not mean that he and his right-wing coalition are any more popular. In fact, opinion polls say that the highest rate in the country that there has been once Netanyahu gone. So this is now another strike against his government for the future. And the kind of laws that they wanted to bring in were incredibly repressive and right-wing laws. And the finance minister was coming out, Bezalel Smotrich, recently in that right-wing coalition, saying in the last few days that he thinks they should take over the border, the Gaza-Egypt border, which is something that Netanyahu says he agrees with, which is essentially a new occupation that the West is completely against. Also saying that settlers should go back into Gaza, which they haven't done for nearly 20 years since they pulled out in 2005. If these kind of things could be put into law by this government without the agreement of the Supreme Court, that would completely change the outcome of what happens after this war mm-hmm. and the future of Gaza. So it is incredibly relevant to what's going on right now.
And is there any
Israel's future in general?
Is there any indication, Leila, that the public response reaction to this law, this reasonableness bill, will have changed since the 7th of October?
Not really, no. Even within the public who I've spent the first few months of the war continuously in Israel on the ground, and everyone I spoke to said their opinions about the government and about Netanyahu hadn't really changed, and if they'd been against him and the right-wing coalition, that had only increased. This is very much about Israeli people and the Israel Defense Forces uniting together to to protect themselves and their country in this war, that does not mean they think this government is right. So most people who were against this are absolutely delighted. They say that they feel more protected as a country to make their own decisions and that they will continue to be independent and democratic. And even, in fact, members of the coalition have come out quite weakly saying things like, oh, people don't want this kind of division right now. They want unity. But really, most people who were against this are very pleased about it and feel that they will have more choice over whether they want Netanyahu and his allies to go after this war is finished.
Now, can I ask you briefly about what's been happening in Gaza over the last few hours? Because we know that Israel announced it plans to pull troops back, but there are reports too that Israel stepped up strikes in southern Gaza overnight. So what has been happening?
So there are a few different theories as to why this is happening. Now, the IDF announced that it was pulling out 5 brigades in the next few days. That's several thousand soldiers. It says that it's doing that to allow rest and relaxation. Now, there are a few things going on here. The campaign in the north at the moment has largely faded down. Now, it's left absolute devastation in its wake. People who've managed to see what's going in the north have seen complete destruction. We're looking at about 60% of Gaza's housing units now gone. People are starving in the streets. Aid trucks are not allowed to stop. And we're seeing devastating scenes of people on those aid trucks trying to throw packages to desperate people in the streets, because if they stop, they might be shot by snipers, because the Israelis have said they're not allowed to stop there. So pulling soldiers out of that area to rest them does make sense, because they're not actively fighting as much there anymore. Where things are really fierce at the moment is in the south, around Khan Yunis, the biggest city in the south, where now the IDF thinks they think the main stronghold of Hamas and the two biggest Hamas leaders who are in Gaza are positioned. So we're still seeing horrendous strikes there every day. We've now got a death count of about 22,000 people in Gaza. That's 1 in 100 Gazans is now dead, and many more thousands missing. So the toll is probably much higher than that. Now, the Israelis are in no way saying this is a wind down. There's been a lot of pressure from the Americans to move to a different phase, if not a ceasefire, then at least a slowdown of these very, very harsh military tactics that they've been using, a combination of airstrikes and on the ground fighting. So many people think that actually that's not what's happening. But in fact, what's happening is they're simply taking a small break in transition, and leadership in Israel saying this war will go on for many, many months. And this in no way amounts to a ceasefire or an admission that things need to change.
Leila, thank you very much. Leila Molana Allen, who is special correspondent with PBS.